CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Victor Davis Hanson, the historian, the Hoover Institution, and the author of The Second World Wars, How the First Global Conflict Was Fought and Won. This book, Victor published several years past, and it's a joy to consider again and again the stories that I was told by my father, who fought in the Second World Wars, and then learned on my own in the 1960s when it wasn't commonplace to debate, to be a revisionist about what had happened under Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin. And now, these decades later, to look at the consideration of the Second World Wars, emphasis multiple wars, and what to make of the revisionism that we still have. We begin with Victor's filing on his website, VDH's Blade of Perseus, Historian's Corner, Some Mythologies of World War II. Now, here's a brain twister. Germany won the first of the world wars in Europe. Won the victor. Victor, a very good evening to you. The
good
war
evening.
That Germany won, you identify as beginning September 1st, 1939, with the Predator's attack on Poland, and ended somewhere in the middle of 1941. This included the conquest of Europe. Is that generally understood today, that Germany won that war? Good evening to you.
I don't think it is, because almost immediately within 60 days of the fall of France, in late 6 weeks after their invasion, May 10th, they began bombing Britain, and not just haphazardly or dropping leaflets. So they felt that they were going to go on. And, but in that period, vocally, Radio Berlin was telling the British, it's over, you can have your empire. We have won, you can't get on the continent. And there were even talk of disassembling some of their mobilization plans and decommissioning a division or here too. So the German people at least interpreted that as they had won what they had tried to do in World War One. They were very much obsessed with the goals of World War One, and they felt that this was not a global war, it was a continental war, and they had won the war in a way that had not happened in World War One, and they were done with it. That's what the German people thought. But of course, as the Blitz went on in that summer, June, July, August, and really you can maybe date it toward the beginning in August in earnest, and September, then it didn't prove to be very successful very quickly, and they altered the strategies, et cetera, and went to firebombing rather than attacking the RAF and factories. But nonetheless, Hitler at least thought, and this is kind of crazy, John, that maybe the way to defeat Britain and isolate it even more so was to attack the Soviet Union. And so that was the beginning on June 22nd of another war that was much different than the European continental wars that he'd won.
A puzzle about Hitler, a corporal in the First War, a decorated corporal who was gassed. His fear of the trench warfare was Churchill's fear of the trench warfare, a man who'd been disgraced by Gallipoli and served in the trenches for time after leaving the cabinet. They were all frightened of that stalemate that led to the multiple bleeding. But Hitler had another fear. It was blockade. Blockade for food. Because he remembers the starvation at the home front and by the troops in the First War. The Germans had not defeated the Royal Navy. They didn't have a navy that could match anything comparable to the Royal Navy. So therefore, without conquering the Royal Navy, had he won the war? I puzzle to you.
Yeah, he felt that it was sort of an elephant and whale lockdown. In other words, Britain would never have an army after Dunkirk that would be able to harm his interest on the continent. They just didn't have the numbers. They didn't have the allies. They didn't have the willpower. But on the other hand, Britain, remember, in 39 had the largest navy in the world, larger than ours. So there was no way that Germany's belated attempt to get surface ships was ever going to challenge Britain. Maybe even the U-boats were not going to necessarily cut Britain off on the supplies from North America, Canada, et cetera. So what he was thinking was the Soviet Union being on the same continent, more or less, Western Europe, Western Russia especially, that was a way to avoid the consequences of the ongoing British blockade. And there wasn't much coming into Germany because the British, once they got outside German airspace, even when it included the French ports, they were pretty free to block all trade from Africa, the Middle East, the United States, anywhere coming into the ports at Germany. So, and they controlled the Mediterranean, so there was no way through the spine of Italy and on into Austria that Germany was going to be supplied. And that was another reason they looked at Russia. They thought, you know what, we don't need to worry about, as we did in the First World War, we're going to go in and plunder Russia. And that was highly ironic because that was one of the bases, John, of the Molotov-Ribbentrop pact of August 23rd, 1939. It was Hitler's idea that this partner that he had now was going to turn on was supplying 20 or 30% of his fuel and or more and his food and essential minerals and metals. So it was a way, and then his way of thinking, either allying with the Soviet Union or plundering the Soviet Union was a way to get around those fears of a World War One successful blockade that was already in effect.
The June of 41 is the launch of a Barbarossa, the German attack on the Soviet Union. However, the month before, there was an event that remains a puzzle to me. May of 1941, Rudolf Hess, a very significant figure in the Nazi Party for many years, makes a strange flight to Scotland under a pseudonym and appears to be seeking to negotiate with the British government at the time, London government. It doesn't work out that way, but it's a puzzle now, Victor. Was Hitler aware of that flight? Were they looking to make peace, a separate peace with Britain, following the failure of the attack, the Luftwaffe to conquer Hitler, knowing that Operation Sea Lion was just a fantasy? They could never invade England. Was Hess meant to be an overture?
No, he was freelancing. He always had a bit of instability about him that was known to Hitler, but he did reflect the consensus of Hitler himself in the inner circle that they felt in the short term they could convince. I think they were going to eventually break. They broke every agreement they ever signed, so they couldn't be serious about a long-lasting pact. But they kept telling Britain, we have no territorial ambitions, and that's a favorite phrase of his, of course. It was bankrupt, but we don't want India. We don't want your possessions in Africa, Asia. But and we actually agree with what you're doing, civilization, white man's burden, all these crazy things. But you have to give us a concession on the continent. He knew that there were people within the British Tory class, the Chamberlains maybe not, but Baldwin maybe, and Halifax maybe, and members of the royal family maybe, that would be willing to talk about never having any ambitions to free or liberate France or the Western democracies that were under this Nazi yoke, if in exchange he would not bomb Britain. They weren't so worried about an invasion, but they were worried about bombing because they'd seen what the Luftwaffe had done in Poland and in France, and they were worried that they'd lost about 40% of their fighter strength over France. And so they were very worried, and there were members in the British conservative circles that thought that maybe they could enlist Mussolini as an intermediary. And I think that's what Hess observed and thought, you know what, I'll just go straight and bail out in the vicinity of a Tory lord and see if I can just freelance a deal that will allow us to hold on to Europe, maybe go into Russia, but not get in a war with Britain, and therefore probably not with the United States either.
The United States, March 1941, the Lend-Lease Act, formerly called an Act to Promote the Defense of the United States. The United States was not involved in the war that Hitler had won. Did it intend to get involved? Was Lend-Lease meant to be a footstep towards the continent in some fashion before the attack on Barbarossa?
I think Roosevelt may have envisioned, when I said they didn't want to get in a war with Britain, I mean, they were declared, obviously, but not into a major shooting war. It was sort of a cold, active, declared war. But I think Roosevelt believed that that was the first step, and then the United States would slowly arm and start supplying Britain, and then that would be a one-front war. So I think that was the idea, that eventually it would, but there was no public support for it. Had we not been attacked at Pearl Harbor on the 7th, and had not Hitler, strangely, but there were some logical reasons why he did, declare war against us on the 11th, I don't think we would have declared war against the Mussolini and Hitler and the European Axis.
The book is The Second World War is How the First Global Conflict Was Fought and Won. However, Victor has done us the favor of coming up with, in his blog, mythologies of the Second War. And the next mythology is, why did Hitler attack the Soviet Union after he'd already won the war? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Data privacy. Hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.